This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hour one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. We have the top stories of the day, everything that's transpired since last we broadcasted with you right here at 2 o'clock, General, at your service. Jeff Cavanaugh, Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation. How the heck you guys doing?
Whoo, 8.25, 8.5, 8.25, 8.5. I'm trying to see if Minnesota can get some. Get out! Get out! Yeah! Sorry, I got Astros and Twins on the television, and while I'm not as checked into postseason baseball as I would be if the Rangers were involved, I do like seeing the Astros lose, but a 20 just got thrown out at the plate, so they scored one run on that hit, and it's going to be 1-1 at the end of five.
Yeah, a lot of Ranger fans taking the opportunity to root against the Astros. It is disappointing that the Rangers could not make an expanded field, but there's so much baseball going on that I think if you're a hardcore baseball fan, this is wonderful.
There's 8 games today, and Nelson Cruz is still really good at baseball. Who saw that one coming? Holy cow.
I mean, I thought he'd roided to stay that good in his late
20s. I thought he roided to get good.
There's your example, yeah. General. If you ever want to cite anybody that, took the thing you always want us to do, he's the great example of that right now, right?
Yeah, he just needed a couple cycles, apparently.
Just a couple
and
cycles.
A little suspension, and then boom, on the other side. You know, he's like, he found the fountain of youth or something. Baker Mayfield getting the talk started for the week, saying Austin is the best city in Texas.
Oh, crap.
Well, shots fired at Dallas. You taking offense to that, DFW? You guys agree? I haven't spent enough time in Austin to have a real educated opinion on that.
I think that's the tough part. I don't know what percentage of the population is. Like, Texas has a lot of pride. I don't know what percentage of Dallas is like, we're the best, or Fort Worth is like, we're the best, or Denton's like, we're the best. But yeah, Dallas is not the best city in Texas. I think I would say Fort Worth is generally more polite. I would say Austin is generally more polite. Houston is a much cooler city than people give it credit for, because you have to pretend to hate it for sports reasons. Dallas is fine. Look, here's the secret about cities. You ready for this? I'm going to give you the secret about cities. Every city is what you make of it. There is a way to live in Dallas where it's incredibly douchey and awful and terrible. There's a way to do that. And there's a way to live low-key and fun and relaxed. Same in Fort Worth. Same in Denton. Same in Austin. Same in Houston. I don't care where you are. Every city is what you make of it. But I do believe that Austin is probably a better city than Dallas.
I mean, some environments lend themselves with the feng shui or whatever, you know, the general vibe of the city to.
They got hills. We don't have hills.
That mood. Nature's big, man.
We got a lot of concrete in this mofo.
Yeah, I lived in a city, and I'm laughing at Jeff, like, saying that you make it what it is.
Yeah.
I lived in a city where I wouldn't admit where I was from.
Oh, no.
I lived in Philadelphia. And I told people I was from Austin is what I would do. I would, because I'm thinking, like, at least they know the capital, right? Maybe these people in Pennsylvania, they may. But no, I never, ever admitted I was from Dallas living in Philly. I did not want to deal with that. So it depends.
So a lot
on
of the Eagles fans did not know that a lifelong Cowboys fan from Dallas was I could see that, That's very popular in a place like that. I mean, here it's like, oh, JD's a Giants fan. He grew up in New York. It's like, hey,
who cares?
You know,
sure,
he's human. He has a background. That's where he grew up. That's fine. I don't know. I've always been partial to Sunnyvale out here, but I don't think we're a city yet. We're still a town.
Working on it. Yeah.
Although we got two stoplights here.
There you
go. They're working on expanding the main thoroughfare there to 4 wide. Get them in and out of town a little bit easier. They're cutting over from 30 to 80.
I'm a big Mineral Wells guy. I'm a big Weatherford guy.
Ooh,
I got. I'm, I'm a huge Denton guy.
Dude, Denton's got it going on. Little college vibe there with the indie rock scene and stuff.
Pretty like into it. Louisville.
I got to turn you guys on to Brownsboro.
Okay.
My little lake town. Yeah. I got to turn you guys into Brownsboro sometime.
I did some Allen. I had a run in Allen, but, you know.
Was it a good run?
I had a decent run in Allen. The one thing, once you get out of it, that is super annoying about Allen and anywhere like that, where there's, like, no crime, is the police are just bored. And so they just sit in the middle of roads and try to pull you over for inspection or doing 44 mm-hmm. and a 40. And I'm like, you guys need some crime.
Yeah, that's what you told your parents, right? Oh, they're just bored, Mom. Yeah. Me and the boys weren't up to anything. You know, we're just getting harassed by the local yokels.
You don't get a public intox for fun, boy.
Well, there is a lot going on with the Cowboys, though, and we should, you know, get into that, because Mike McCarthy saying CeeDee Lamb being out was due to workload and not injury is a real interesting one. I know Noah Brown and Cedric Wilson were playing well, but game on the line, do you want CeeDee Lamb out that much? And could he have possibly been tired at a crucial moment in the game? What do you guys think of that?
I mean, we've seen a guy allegedly be tired in crucial moments before at wide receiver, so why not? I will say, if anything on him is not feeling right, I got my way for 3 weeks, and I'm prepared. I'm prepared to back away and say, hey, somebody else can return punts.
That was a close one, wasn't
it? You didn't like that one?
Well, I'm just, I need all my receivers to be healthy, because now it turns out without Jarwin, I don't need three. I need four. Because I don't need Dalton Schultz on the field for 80% of the snaps. It's about time to – look, we're winning right now, right? Kellen Moore is all listening to G-Bag and throwing the ball all over the place.
And
it's a celebration, even though they're 1-2. Now, Kellen, the next step is that your tight end is no longer very good. So you need to add a fourth wide receiver and keep it going.
I'll tell you what, guys, this has been a confusing year for me already. 3 weeks in, you know, we start talking about injuries. Is Tyron healthy? Whoa, he's not healthy. Lyle Collins, nothing wrong with Lyle Collins. Yeah. I'm not concerned. Next thing you know, we're talking back or hip, you know, surgeries and stuff like that. CD was out.
You're not buying it. Yeah, you guys buying it.
Yeah, I don't know, man, because every time, you know, and they're telling me about Tank, you know, Tank was out, but, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to kind of figure things out, and every direction or path I take leads me to something different and leads me to more questions. Or what are they trying to hide here? I believe there's things that they're honestly trying to hide here, and they just don't want to tell us. I mean, whether you probably should just, hey, come out and say, hey, this is the problem, this is how we're going to try and manage it, and we'll go forward from there. But they're not interested in doing that at all.
They've been cryptic at times in the past, but not always, and now it just seems like they've taken it to the next level, and it's hard to tell. I mean, how good is Tank's knee?
Exactly. You
know, Tank's gone from D-Ware. Now he's playing like Anthony Spencer. Maybe he's got a mystery knee injury as well, just like Anthony Spencer. But it's tough. I feel bad for people trying to get good, solid information on it, form an opinion. But, hey, we can wait till game day, you know, and keep our fingers crossed for the best. And they have managed to be competitive through a ton of injuries already. So I'm not thinking it's going to be – you know, a deal breaker against Cleveland. You're going to start previewing the Browns for us, Broadus?
I am at 2:40. Yeah, I looked at all three of their games that they've played so far. So have some ideas of what we need to kind of focus on.
Now, I do think Tyron's pretty big, though. Miles Garrett and Olivier Vernon.
Yeah.
Can we get one of those guys taken over by a big 77 and worry about helping on the other? Or I don't know. But the news today was that Tyron Smith participated in some. And they're just going to monitor how he reacts from that.
Yeah, I feel terrible having to think about things this way, but I'm thinking about with Tyron, I'm thinking about a neck, I'm thinking about a back. I mean, I don't have any direction here, you know, and I wonder if what we're talking about is, you know, with the stingers and stuff, is that three games? Is it, you know, is it really that severe? I sound like I'm speculating, and I don't want to. I'd like to really know, okay, is this what he's dealing with? You know, and they're trying to say, okay, well, he's working his way back in. There's people that tell me, hey, this might be more severe. It might not be. I don't know what direction to go with Tyron because I could understand if someone told me, okay, well, he's got some back ailments. That back thing is kicked up. Well, that's something that's kept him out before. But stingers, okay, it limits the mobility. It limits the strength. if that's it, okay, I could deal with that too. But man, it just, there's so many questions about this team and the health of this team that I don't have a really great handle on, and I don't know how to make my roster up or get ready for a game knowing that I have to face some legitimate pass rushers for the Browns.
Maybe it'd be better if they just went like hockey and said, yeah, he's hurt and he might play. You know, no use in talking about it or speculating. Because right now, partial, inconsistent, half-lying information doesn't help.
No, it really
doesn't. Doesn't help us. Doesn't help anybody do their job.
No, not at all.
Now, is every part of your back upper body? Is your lower back?
I think so.
I think waist up is. Yeah, okay. Yeah, waist
it starts
up.
At the cheek. Yeah. I'll count the cheek. That's part of the glute, you know, and that's lower body.
Okay, so everything above the butt. So Tyron is, look, so you Tyron is upper body, and we'll see. That's kind of where he is. I am seeing a lot of people seeming to take optimism from what McCarthy said today about Tyron. We're like, well, you know, we'll take place in individual. I didn't take a lot of optimism. I hope he plays, but I just kind of do this, like, I don't know. Like, hey, Lyle Collins, is he going to play at all this year? I don't know. We'll see.
All right, so Broadus will tell you about what you can expect based on the film coming up at 2:40. We got the G-Bag of the Day coming up 2:30. Titans and Steelers being postponed. They might play it Monday. That story evolved a little bit more today as another Titan tested positive. So the NFL is coming on strong right now because these days are key, and they know it. It's time to rally. They got their coaches kind of making a mockery of it at times on the sidelines, and they're like, guys, take it serious. We're talking about billions of dollars. And for you players, tens of millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands. So if you guys want to continue making money, let's go. If you screw up, you're looking at possible suspensions, forfeiture of draft picks as punishment for failing to comply with COVID-19 game day protocols. A league memo obtained by Adam Schefter was sent out across the league today, and it was a strongly worded memo sent to coaches, GMs, and team execs, including a passage where the NFL says it will address lack of compliance with accountability measures that may include those punishments. So I think that would get everybody's attention, right? If you're the owner in the front office now, you're looking at your coach and not saying, hey, it's your fine. Now you're saying, dude, you could really set us back. So we're going to need full compliance on these bad boys from here on out.
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world to me that this is something that they've got to take super seriously because it's – I don't know that the NFL, like MLB, kind of got out in front of it pretty early, right, where it seemed like, hey, if you got to miss a bunch of games, you got to miss a bunch of games. We're going to go off winning percentage. Would the NFL do that? Would they, if we had teams missing games, start going – I don't think they – nobody wants to mess with that, and you're not bubbled up, so you got to do everything you can to follow the protocols the best you can, and if it's found that – you were irresponsible in some way, because that's the thing about the Cove. As a man who thought he had the Cove, like, I'm sitting there going, all right, how would I have gotten the Cove? I went in public once in the last 2 weeks. I was 6 feet away from everybody. I literally had handy wipes and a mask and wiped everything down. It's like, you don't have to be irresponsible to get the Cove. If you went somewhere, it could happen. So if you find that they were irresponsible, punish away. If you just have some guys that got the Cove because they were around each other and one of them got it at the Whataburger drive-thru, well, crap. Sorry that we weren't all living in a total bubble and wiping down our delivered groceries. But, yeah, if you're acting irresponsibly, your team is punished. If you get the Cove, not necessarily.
Yeah, I think that, and this is going to sound terrible, but I'm starting to believe it a little bit, that these players get tested every day or every other day. And there's kind of a sense of, okay, I haven't got it today. Haven't got it today. You know, I can still keep, I know I'm going to get tested. So maybe I can risk it a little more. Maybe I could go and do and live my life a little more. You know, if you were, and I think that it's kind of a way of them feeling secure that, okay, if I go out and do something kind of crazy once or twice a week, you know, I understand going to the store and getting it. That's a whole nother thing. But going out on the town and just saying, you know what, I'm going to go do this because you know why? Tomorrow morning I'm going to get a test. You know, and I'm not, and it'll show that I didn't, you know, nothing happened or, you know.
Yeah. I mean, especially after so many negative tests in a row, you're like, man, I'm not going to get it. Look at the curve. But now the curve, you know, shaking a little bit. And I think the NFL is doing the right thing. It gives me confidence that they're all over this, doesn't it?
Well, and that's where I think that all these strong memos are coming out, though, because this is the first case. You know, if you're Tennessee, if you're the Titans, now you have to look at your operation. And you have to say, okay, how did this happen? You know, now you go back with all the tracing that they have, where guys not wearing their armbands or their wristbands. Where, you know, where how do we kind of cross all the T's and dot all the I's here? Because because that's what they did with the Cardinals and the Marlins. They started, Major League Baseball went in and said, okay, this is how it happened. And if you're the Titans and you didn't follow protocol and it was on your organization, they are going to slam you. They're going to slam you for this. So
I would keep an eye on that. Responsibility.
Yeah.
I would definitely keep an eye on it. And, you know, the fact that like five of non-players, staffers had it.
Right.
How was there contact between those two groups?
Right.
You know, that really doesn't need to happen for the business of football. There should not be any cross-contamination. If it's a coach, that's one thing. But if it's support staff and they're lingering in a room for just a few minutes and it happens, it's like, we're going to get around with another football team and roll around for 3 hours. So Monday through Saturday, we need everything to be 100% locked down.
Yeah, you don't need guys like me who really have no business being around the team. You know, like if I was with the Cowboys as a scout, you know, Will McClay needs to be with the team. Brian Broaddus doesn't need to be with the team. And, you know, if I were to get those guys sick just hanging around, you know, that defeats everything we're trying to do here.
Yes. Okay. So I think monitoring is the right word right now. One more positive today. If that's the end of the cycle and we get to Saturday, they're going to play Monday or at the latest Tuesday, but they might have to reschedule it or tack on a week to the end of the season. I really think it comes down to how many teams find themselves in this situation. And right now, if the daily testing and monitoring and jumping on it with urgency can tamp that thing down, my confidence will rise another 10-15%. If this thing lingers and we get another team popping up, then I think you're going to start looking at real nervous time and the stakes will increase significantly.
Well, the great thing was that Minnesota gets to go back to their facility tomorrow. So that's a team that Tennessee played. So
they were rolling around for 3 hours
exactly,
and there was no transmission.
Exactly. So, you know, Minnesota got on it quick and did what they had to do. So let's see if the Titans, if they get no more positive cases, you know, hopefully they can get back to work pretty soon too.
Let's take a look at game one of the finals and plus a chicken soup for your Dallas Stars soul. Reason to believe they can bring in an impact rookie is next in the nation. Yes, sir. Welcome back, nation. Let's talk a little finals. Let's talk some Dallas Stars. A little pick-me-up coming off the Stanley Cup final loss. Reason to believe they'll add an impact player here from the rookie class. Segment is brought to you by Rubin and Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He will eliminate your stress, allow you to live life again. Starts with a simple confidential phone call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS, Rubin and Associates. I'm getting a kick out of watching this game at Target Field there with Minnesota. They got like their legends of in Twins history in those cardboard cutouts behind home plate, and it's fun to scan some of those faces, and it reminds me of, you know, baseball cards from the 80s and early 90s at a time when, you know, the Minnesota Twins were on quite a run.
Kirby,
you know,
back sure you, there?
Kirby Puckett's back there. Chili Davis is back there. Dan Gladden. Chuck Knobloch. I think Jack Morris is there with his mustache from the 91 team.
Didn't Chuck get the yips at one point? Or am
he
I
sure
getting
did.
Somebody?
Yeah. Sure
okay.
did.
Yeah.
He had to go to outfield.
Yeah.
he did, yeah. I think when he was with the Yankees. he started throwing it into the dugout from second base. Okay, what do you guys want first here? A little Stars or a little NBA final?
Ooh, eeny, meeny, miny Stars.
Okay. So I agree, man. I think that there's tons of energy right now with the Stars and the Stars fans in anticipation, and it's a huge off season. The Stars director of amateur scouting Joe McDonald talked with Sean Shapiro of The Athletic about the upcoming draft. And he said, I think we're going to get a good player. This year we think the draft goes very deep. This is like with the Cowboys drafts when they had all those wide receivers and you got Michael Gallup late or Anthony Brown at corner late. You know, one of those years where it's like, man, there's so many of these guys in the draft. McDonald said, I would say this year there's a lot of guys after maybe 15 that are interchangeable. So we think at 30 we'll probably get somebody on our list we would have rated at 20. We think it's a good position that way. McDonald compared it to the 98 draft. He was working for the Red Wings at the time. They selected Yuri Fisher at number 25 when he had been rated 7th on the Red Wings internal list. So as far as free agents, seems manageable. Perry, Sekera, Khudobin, and Anton, one of the biggest because of Ben Bishop's injury history there. But Gurionov and Hintz are restricted free agents. Those guys do seem very important. You don't want to let somebody come in there and steal those guys away. But outside of Hudobin, it seems very, very manageable with bringing most of it back. And now if you can add to it a little bit, get a little bit of a quality coming out of year end, transitioning into the other side, maybe you could put the icing on this championship cake.
Yeah, hopefully they can find some olds to replace the olds that walk away. And I wonder what happens with Hudobin, because our boss, the Hockey Hawk, famed and renowned in all the land for his hockey knowledge, really likes the youngster that the Stars currently would have behind Ben Bishop, even if you didn't have
Ottinger.
Hudobin.
Ottinger, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe with Bishop and Ottinger, you're in good shape. And really what you want to try to replace is some of the old man vet power that leaves here. I'm mostly talking about Corey Perry, assuming that he's not back again, because that dude started showing up. Mm-hmm. In the postseason, that dude was showing up. So
him and Pavelski had most of your final goals.
They sure
yeah.
did.
Yeah. So you gotta scrap something together. You gotta go out there and scrape the barrel. And gosh, the Rangers and Stars seem like they can kind of do this. I know the Rangers are a train wreck, but they can find a guy that's sitting out there that's not a top tier free agent, that's on the downslope, where it's like, hold on, here's a veteran or two that we can have on a third or fourth line that can contribute. And so hopefully they can pull that off and then just go win the flipping cup. How about that?
Well, I'll tell you what would be interesting, guys, for our team building going forward is the expansion draft with the Seattle Kraken coming up too.
Ooh, yeah.
So they change the rules at all? Because there's no way they can let what happened with Vegas happen, where it's like, here, have the best team in hockey.
Trust me, they're going to let the Kraken have the best team in hockey. They're not going to they're not doing that anymore. I mean, I just feel like, though, that that's the first step in team building, and General gave you all those names and stuff and what you have to do. And so I'll be interested to see who the Stars, in fact, protect. I think that will give you an idea of potentially what direction they might go into. And I totally agree with you guys about adding, the older veteran player. Their pro scouting department has done a great job. I wonder how much of the draft, though, will be affected with the pandemic. Have the scouts had the ability to evaluate all these players? The pandemic really hit, though, in what, March. So were we, college
Didn't
hockey, where were we? Yeah.
All that,
yeah, where were we with all that? So hopefully their evaluations didn't get taken back too far by that.
Yeah, they said they're just going to trust what they had at that point as far as what the amateurs had done. And I think that's the right thing to do. But huge off season here for the Stars. I think, the beginning and the end of the season leave you a taste in your mouth like that could be our fate coming up for next year. I don't think you can feel tremendous about your ability to pick up and where it left off because of how poorly you played for two extended stretches. The quality of Sagan and Ben and their age now makes you wonder. So it's going to be nervous time, but they'll get back after it in early December. And, maybe by January or so, we're going to be talking about this team going on another run. Okay, LeBron looking for ring 4. It starts tonight at 8 o'clock on ABC. L.A. is a 4-1 favorite in the series, a 4.5-point favorite in game 1, as LeBron James playing in his 10th finals.
I will not give you those odds, by the way, if you're wondering.
Okay. I don't want them anyway. I would bet. I already lost to you on the Nuggets, who I thought had a better chance than down 4-1, but I just don't think LeBron and AD can be denied.
Will you give me those odds?
Yeah.
Try to get your money back at 4-1?
Yeah.
I'll take the Heat at 4-1 for a return
Thank you.
Of your cash.
Yes. And that could get dangerous. That could get dangerous for me. I got the lady's birthday coming up and all that, and the holidays right around the corner. But I do feel that confident. I think it's going to be the Lakers in 5. James at age 35, showing no signs of slowing down. Playoff LeBron is a real thing. His career high 4 triple doubles in these playoffs. He is averaging 27 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. Numbers no player has ever reached through his first 15 games of a postseason. So he just broke another record for the damn playoffs. You could say he's beaten teams already better than what the Miami Heat have going. I like the Heat, but
I like the Lakers and have picked them all the way and I'm going to pick them to win the title, but man, just watching the Heat throughout these playoffs, I really like them too. I like that Jimmy Butler's found a place where he's like comfortable and wants to lead. I love watching Bam Adebayo play. They got 3-point shooters.
And Duncan Robinson, Hero, both. Yeah,
Robinson, Hero, Crowder, right?
Yeah.
They got dudes that can shoot the three. They can play defense. I like that team. So I don't think they're gonna win, but I think they got a chance. So if you get the right odds, shoot. Yeah, let's gamble.
All right. Well, yeah. Best of luck to you on that, sir.
Yeah,
Let's go. The
3-point shooters, those young guys, though, they kind of struggled a little bit against the Celtics in those last three games. But, man, I mean, if you listen to Butler talking about, he's like, man, I ain't worried about those guys. They're going to come out and play. So that's great that your guy has some confidence in you and you go out there and just keep firing. Hopefully it works out for you.
Yeah. Only thing I'm really worried about is I think an Anthony Davis injury. But he is just, he's killing it. Playoff AD's a thing as well. I think he's had one or two bad games in this playoff run. But the numbers he's putting up put him on a historic path.
Can we, he went like two games where he had a grand total of 3 or 4 rebounds. I think he had one game where he had one rebound.
And it happened in like the last minute of the game. Yeah.
Does he just not go anywhere near the hoop? Or is that something that's really alarming for a man of his size?
Is it the bubble depression?
I don't know.
What happened? I mean, the stars went flat a couple of times, and it's like, hello, do you know what you're playing for? Yeah. And the guys are running around out there like zombies. It's time now for the G-Bag of the Day, the best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play them all. Vote on which one we like the best. That's your G-Bag of the Day. Lucius Alexander, Kim Cup, how the hell are you?
Grooving, hey, on a Wednesday afternoon.
I'm grooving, bro.
See, the way you said grooving made me think of a different song. You remember the arcade game, Cruising the World, where you stomp on the gas pedal twice and you pop
cruising
a wheelie?
Cruising USA.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a good game.
Or Cruising the World. There was the World one, too.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I remember that joint. You had the girl riding with you on the other side. Was that one?
Well, if you wanted to.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Arcades are now just for little kids that needs running around to do. Like, there was a time where the arcade games were better than console games still.
I've seen a few spots. You know, you might be right. Because what the arcades is now with Dave and Buster's and everybody else. But, I've seen a few spots where you have to be an adult to go in there.
Oh, yeah.
There's serving drinks. Yeah. There's serving drinks over there, man. You know, people are low-key gambling on the side. Bet he can't hit it again. I bet he can't hit it again.
Okay. I like it. Yeah. That sounds fun.
Yeah, they're doing it, man.
I'm missing out.
People getting wild out here. How about Coach Mike Leach was our G-bag of the day from yesterday. He was talking about the fans in the stands.
I have to be honest, I haven't quite gotten the hang of the cutout people in the stands, you know. I mean, that's an episode of Twilight Zone. Some of you guys are probably all too young for Twilight Zone, but I mean the black and white Twilight Zone where Rod Sterling would get on there with the really creepy voice in the suit. And then all of a sudden, you know, is this real? Is it out of space? Is it... you know, it was almost like, you know, haunted houses met science fiction, that show. And I don't even know how they decide what, you know, the seating. I mean, do the fake people have a lottery of where they sit? Because I know this, some of those fake people have way better seats than other ones. Mm. And you know, I want to be one of those fake people on the 50-yard line about row 12. But, you know, some of them are still up in the rafters, you know. So, I mean, you know, in this world, in this day and age, in these funny times, even a fake person can get screwed, you know? So, live clean, live smart, and maybe when you become a fake person, you'll get good seats at the LSU game.
That's a fact. Hold on.
Yeah.
He's dropping bars. He's dropping bars. Pay attention right there. I'm just now catching that. Hold on.
Literally everything that dude says is just stream of consciousness.
You think so? I was wondering if he's got a destination in mind or if it just comes full circle because of his genius IQ and quirkiness.
He's kind of like Jerry, but it's more together because he's a little younger.
Listen to the benefits of fake people, though. There's benefits to being a fake person. Pay attention.
So live clean, live smart, and maybe when you become a fake person, you'll get good seats at the LSU game.
Pay attention. Woo.
Firing shots at you, Brian. Are those unfounded allegations?
No, he's not wrong.
Okay.
He's not wrong about that. I'll tell you, I was with Mike Leach one time at the Combine, and it was really strange because he could pound Coronas. I mean, he is really good at pounding Coronas. But he was drawing plays on bar napkins. He was wadding them up and putting them in his pocket. So every time you'd be talking to him, it's like, yeah, coach. He'd take a sip. He'd turn around. He'd draw something on a napkin. He'd wad it up, and he'd put it in his pocket.
There's so another 6 points.
Yeah, he was like, every beer, he was designing some play to, like, make LSU look ridiculously bad on defense, which he did a great job of last week.
Yeah, man. It sounds like a good beer drinker indeed. It's hard to get those Coronas to really come out of the bottle quick.
If he knows you got a tab, he's going with you.
Shoot, you got to drink them fast. They get hot on you in the summer.
they do, man.
They do get hot on you.
With those translucent bottles. Okay, who's nominated it to try to take down Mike?
It's been like a few weeks since we had a Cartnarks guy on here. Oh. So we've got a Cartnarks situation where it goes from bad. I mean, it started off bad. Matter of fact, this audio jumps in the middle of the situation because it was so long and just so bad. But it ended well.
Man, I went to the grocery store.
Right.
I came here.
I'm following.
And I don't need your
But it's but see, sir.
Okay.
You started with the BS, not
no,
me.
No, you did.
Sir,
you know why you did? Because you asked me about the cart. That's why.
Why would I do that?
Because I didn't park it in the thing.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. I know I didn't.
But
okay. And
don't
I
you
didn't
wanna...
I didn't feel like walking over there. Okay.
But don't you want to be a better person?
Don't put it on my car, okay?
But I don't feel like
you have no business doing that.
But this is my business. I'm the car.
No, I don't give a sh**.
It's in my job title.
I don't give a sh**.
It's literally my business.
No. What, you paid for that?
Yes, sir.
How much you make?
Well, sir, that's confidential, but it's...
Whoa. It is.
I'm not asking you. You're at salary. Whoa. Yeah, knock it off, is what he's saying. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I got it under control, though. Thank. So I appreciate it. Thank you. Anyway, yeah, the guy says he doesn't.
I have no idea.
He just said, "Knock it off and don't yell at me." Basically.
Does he even know what the f- happened here?
I think he'd feel really bad for me if he did because he.
Want me to go in and tell him what happened?
You're gonna tell him you've been a lazy bones?
I don't give a what I tell him. I'll tell.
That's the truth. Sir, can
you know,
I ask?
All I want to do is go home. I didn't need your expertise on this.
Well,
okay?
This is why we're here. We're here to help people out who need our expertise.
You know what?
What I'll do? What?
I'll be a great guy. I'm going to put both of those carts back in.
That's awesome.
Yeah! There you go.
Leave me alone?
Absolutely. This is amazing, sir.
Yes! A victory!
I'm wearing you down.
You're free to go, sir, but the DWI Inarchs are right around the corner. Cardinarchs, what a classic bid and a solid nominee there. That could win it, Lucius. Do we have any others, though?
We have a pistol-packing granny in Pierce County, Washington.
Hell yeah. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go.
Actually, she had a shotgun on her, which I will be purchasing two this weekend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What, you want it for cheaper?
What? Do you have one?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. I'm being serious.
Okay. All right.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, pistol packing granny right here. Somebody tried to break into her house, and they were going to do some raping.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I opened my door, and standing right 2 feet from me was a man, and we looked at each other for a few minutes, and he turned and started to leave. And I said, oh, no, you don't. You stay right there. And I reached over and got my shotgun, and I cocked it, told him to go out. Sit on the steps. I followed him out. I told him to sit down. And I just stood here with the shotgun waiting for the police to come. He said, well, you know, I was really hoping to get laid. That perked my ears up. That made me think, oh, my God.
Wow, she stopped that situation from happening.
Wow, that's tough. Did she have any other evidence that he was going to assault her?
Other than the quote. How about that strong quote and somebody breaking in the house?
Oh, he had broken into the house. Yeah, I thought he was just outside.
No, he's trying to come on in. She's like, wait a minute, sir. You stay on right here.
Right on. Well, you got to have a shotgun handy.
How much confirmation do you need?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I thought she was out. I thought the guy was like on her front porch, like coming up to knock on the door.
Well,
if you broke it in, yes, pull your gun out. I'm surprised she waited. I would have shot the SOB.
I just you need so much confirmation. Things happen. Is this really happening? Is this the real life?
Don't roll up to my house trying to sell siding. I'll tell you that right now.
I need evidence, Lucius.
Huh?
I need evidence.
How much evidence do you need?
He's already mounted you.
Matter of fact, I'll be running while you find the evidence.
I'm voting for Mike Leach. How about you, Lucius?
Coach Mike Leach. No, Cartnarks, man. What am I doing? Cartnarks, man.
It's tied at one. Jeffrey, Broadus, where are you going?
I'm going to go with Leach.
I'm going with Cartnark. Got the job done.
We got a two-way tie at two. It's at G-Bag Nation on Twitter. That's where you're going to want to jump on and vote. You decide. You're going to break the tie right here. We have Brian Broaddus daily content coming up next. Where are we going with that, sir?
Guys, we need to be concerned about these Cleveland Browns. We'll talk about that next.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation. Here's Brian Broaddus.
Yeah, well, hold on. Who won? I'm sorry.
Oh. At G-Bag Nation on Twitter.
Looks like it was Mike Leach, unfortunately, when I checked. 56-40. Not yet.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Cartnarks did a great thing and was actually successful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it was
okay.
A big day.
I like that.
Yeah, Mike Leach confirmed. Damn. New G-Bag Today champion.
It didn't take much convincing me either, Jeff. I was like, yeah, you're right.
Did you forget who you voted for?
Yeah,
that was me and
I
you.
Yeah.
Here's Brian Broaddus.
All right, thank you, guys. I'm glad Coach Leach got the victory.
Hey!
I do. I like the Pirate.
Do your segment, sir.
I'll do this segment, Jeffrey, and I'll tell you about a couple of players here for the Cleveland Browns that you have to be concerned about as we go forward into this matchup with the Cowboys this weekend. You know, this is a team that has, you know, as they've added pieces along the way, the quality of the pieces, I think, are really very telling. You know, they go ahead and draft Baker Mayfield with their first-round pick in 2018. But if you look at also what they've added, you know, with Jarvis Landry and then Odell Beckham, I think that has been super impressive on the outside for them. When you watch them, at least through these first three games, and I guarantee you guys what's going to happen in this game, they're going to they have seen what this Cowboys secondary, the struggles that they've had, the way that they've struggled with balls that have gone down the field. You know, in the games I watched with the Browns, it was Baltimore and Cincinnati and Washington. And I want to tell you, they're going to throw the ball down the field. Baker Mayfield is going to take the snap out of the shotgun, and he is going to test you down the field with Odell Beckham.
Oh, don't worry about that. You just put one of your great corners on him, and you can shut that down.
Well, I don't know. That's something that would worry me tremendously going into this football game because, and you know, people will say, well, heck, Beckham went at the Giants. He's had his struggles. He hasn't always played well, you know, against the Cowboys here in recent times. But I know what Cleveland's going to do here. They are going to test you down the field because every game they have tried to throw the ball down the field, and they've had some success doing it with Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham. So get ready for that right out of the jump for the Cowboys if you're a fan of their team.
I think the good news for the Cowboys this week is that so far, maybe this is bad news and it's going to come together, but Baker and Odell has not been a great match so far. And even just looking at their numbers this year, when he targets Jarvis Landry, 12 catches on 13 targets.
Mm-hmm.
When he targets Odell, 11 catches on 22 targets. They complete it 50% of the time. So I don't know if it's trying to force it to them when you shouldn't or what it is, but they have not really been vibing.
Well, the thing that I would, as I'm talking about, they're not throwing the ball down the field to Landry. That's what I could see. You know, when you watch the Seattle game, what happened to the Cowboys in the secondary? It was all vertical passing. It was all down the field. It was testing these safeties. And I've seen the thing with Beckham. They've taken those shots, you know, and I just – the gut feeling right now is they're going to test you right off the jump, that they're going to say, okay, you're not good enough on the outside to handle him running by you, and then we'll get Baker Mayfield to throw it to him. I just think that's going to be something that if the Cowboys try to play press and he has that escape, or they play off and he's just running, he'll find a way to get by you.
So don't be encouraged by the fact that Baker is averaging like 190 yards passing per game.
No, I would say to me the shots that they're going to take have a chance because I've seen it. I've seen it in these other games that I watched. Now the reason why he has 190 yards passing or 200 yards passing is because of their running game, though.
Golly, because they might have two of the best five running backs in football.
That's the next focus you want to, because they do a great job. And this is, you know, Stefanski coming from Minnesota, the influence that he has the running game. They are a big, what they like to do to you is they like to block down and then pull guys to get guys in space. So they're gonna block you on angles. They're gonna move guys to get you in space, and then all of a sudden they're gonna hand the ball to Nick Chubb. Or they're going to give the ball to Kareem Hunt. And this team leads the NFL. They're first in the league in 20-plus yard runs. And there's a reason why.
Yeah. Because I'll let you run the ball if you're going to run it and get me 20-plus yarders, and you're going to average Nick Chubb's 5.7 a carry. That dude is a monster.
The problem that you run into when you play Chubb and you play Hunt is their ability to break tackles. That is something I feel like that is, if the Cowboys get into this game, they can't handle the deep ball and then those big plays, then all of a sudden, you know, the Browns say, okay, we're going to try and run it to help us along here. If the Cowboys come out in this game and start tackling poorly and you see it very early, they could very well be in trouble in this game. Because Chubb, he's incredible. He really is. When they get a block, they hits the hole, and then he's on, and then someone tries to stop him, come over, a linebacker, safety, they just bounce off him, and he just keeps going. Or they'll do this where they'll take you, and you'll be so aggressive with the way you're trying to play run defense. They stretch you one way, and then as soon as he sees everything committed, he'll take it back door on you. And that's how, because the Cowboys, you know, if all of a sudden you got Alden Smith and Tank and those guys chasing down inside, and nobody's playing out on the edge, or there's no help over there with the linebacker kind of hanging in that area, they could get some big runs in this game that way, because they force you to play, to have to defend them front side. And then when you overcommit, then all of a sudden, boom, that ball's out the back door, though, and they're on their way. So
yeah, I you know, in the games that I've seen of the Browns this year, I think you could probably count on one hand the amount of times that Nick Chubb is tackled by the first guy. Just doesn't happen. The balance, the power, you have to really get a hold of him, and you got to really wrap up, or he ain't getting tackled.
Yeah, that's a nightmare scenario, Brian. That's what that sounds like to me.
It is. And the reason it is nightmare is because you want to be aggressive. You want to try and stop them from getting up the field. You know, that's the whole idea. You don't want them to get started up the field, but you overcommit everything to trying to get guys up the field, and the next thing you know, they've washed you to one side, and then there's that space, that gap, that lane that they take. And they're in the vision with both these backs is absolutely incredible. I don't know how the Cowboys, too, are going to cover Austin Hooper at tight end. And Harrison Bryant, the other tight end, they use these tight ends quite a bit. So I'm going to be fascinated to see, okay, how do you match up with Hooper? How do you match up with Bryant? Both these guys are really good football players. Okay, on the defensive side of the ball, when you start to talk about the Browns, you talk about Myles Garrett. They're going to move Myles Garrett from the left side, the right side. They're going to try and find the matchup. They're even going to kick him inside at defensive tackle. He is going to cause problems in the pocket. He's going to slap at the ball. He's going to knock it out of your hands. He's going to sack, fumble, that type of guy. The Browns are first in the league in points, by the way, off turnovers. They've scored 31 points off turnovers, which is first in the league. And a lot of it has to do because of Myles Garrett and the way they attack the pocket, some of the interceptions and stuff that they've got. They have, you know, we talked about Olivier Vernon as one of their players, of their rushers. It's actually Adrian Claiborne. And Cowboy fans know about Adrian Claiborne and what he's been able to do. So, yeah, you'll see number 94 out there, and he will substitute in and out of the lineup as well. Sheldon Richardson, who they got from Minnesota, at defensive tackle, number 98, he is a factor in the middle of the pocket. They've had a couple of times where he has gotten sacks from push and then him able to kind of get off the block and then get inside there on you. So this is a defensive line that you're going to have to be able to secure the front if you're going to want to get the ball out. If I'm going to attack somebody in the secondary, I would definitely go after Terrence Mitchell. Number 39 is the guy I would go after.
And was he here for a minute?
He was here for a minute. Absolutely.
I thought so.
Yeah,
Oregon?
They got him from Kansas. Well, he played at Kansas City. He was here, and then went to Kansas City, then went to here to the Browns. But if there's a guy that I attack, that's the guy I go after. I just don't feel like that he is capable enough as a cover man. They've had some communication problems, by the way, guys, in their secondary as well. Carl Joseph, he was number 42, and Terrence Mitchell, they've blown some coverages on that back end. So keep an eye on if the Cowboys, if they're going to go after a guy, Terrence Mitchell would be the one guy I would look at. And Jeff, for you, just for this, at linebacker, guess who's starting for them?
Browns linebacker, who?
Sloan Talkie-Talkie.
Hey! Hey, I remember BYU. Talkie Talkie.
Absolutely. So
liked
yeah,
him.
Yeah. So he's a good player from BYU. He was a third round pick in 2019. So yeah, I think the problems are you got to find a way to block this front. The protection is going to be key because they're going to move their guys around and try and put pressure on you that way. They affect the pocket with their rush, and the ball security in the pocket is going to be key for Dak this week.
All right, Cowboys Twitter. Can the Cowboys afford to keep feeding him? It's next in the G-Bag Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.